When we were children, most of us sang the little song that was entitled Mary Had a Little Lamb. It went something like this: Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, that lamb was sure to go. Do you remember singing that song? There's more to that song, but those few lines are enough to remind us of that childhood chorus. As we sang that song as little children, we had no idea that something like that had actually happened. We had no idea that something like that had actually occurred. It never dawned on our childish minds that the Bible taught the very same story, that a young girl named Mary did in fact have a little lamb. That's exactly what we find happening in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, the text of Scripture that was read a little earlier on this evening. It seemed that Joseph was engaged to be married to a Jewish virgin whose name was Mary. They were betrothed to one another, which means that they were legally married but not yet living together as husband and wife. Now, during this time of betrothal, the word came to Joseph that Mary was pregnant. Joseph knew that he was not the father, so someone else had to be. That news must have torn that man's heart in pieces. It must have broken his entire life. He believed that she had been unfaithful to him, so he decided to get a divorce. Because he loved Mary and because he was a good, righteous, and godly man, he decided to divorce her quietly, because the penalty for committing Mary's crime in those days was death by stoning. Now, before he could carry his plan out into action, God sent an angel to Joseph to tell him that things were not as they appeared. The angel told Joseph that the child conceived in Mary's womb was not conceived by human agency, but by the Holy Spirit of God himself. The angel said this: "Don't be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary home as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And so Mary was still a faithful virgin. The angel told Joseph that this baby was unique. He was a special child with a special mission. The angel told Joseph that he was to take Mary home as his wife, and that he was to call the child Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. Now, Joseph's reaction was to do exactly what the angel of the Lord had told him to do. He took Mary home, and he waited with her until the day that the baby was born. What Joseph and Mary didn't fully understand, however, was that the baby that was growing inside Mary's womb was none other than the Lamb of God who would one day die in the place of sinners. His parents, they had no idea. They didn't have a clue. They didn't really understand. Matthew 1 verse 25 tells us that the Virgin Mary eventually did deliver this child, and when she did, the Lamb of God himself was born into this world. In the greatest story of all Scripture, we learn the joyful truth that Mary did in fact have a little lamb. It's concerning this lamb, this child, this son, this Savior, this Redeemer that I want to speak to you tonight. There are three things that I want to draw to your attention regarding his glorious person. First, Jesus Christ is a special lamb. Secondly, Jesus Christ is a sacrificial lamb. And third, Jesus Christ is a saving lamb. So first of all, I want you to consider with me the fact that Jesus Christ is a special lamb. Matthew 1 verse 18 to 20 says this: "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Let me ask you a question tonight. What makes Jesus of Nazareth so special? What makes Jesus Christ more unique than any other human being who's ever walked the face of this planet? Why is Jesus special? Well, Jesus is special because his conception was special. The Lord Jesus Christ did not have a human father. He was conceived without human agency. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. What makes the birth of Jesus Christ so utterly unique is the fact that He was born of a virgin. Now, we all know the traditional methods by which babies are conceived and brought into this world, but the conception of Jesus Christ was so different. His mother was a virgin. In Isaiah 7:14, 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, the prophet Isaiah writes these words. He says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign." God Himself will give you a cue. He'll give you an evidence. He'll give you a pre-indication. He says this, "The virgin will be with child. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Emmanuel." And Matthew picks up on that in Matthew 1 of his gospel. He says this, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. This is an essential doctrine. Without the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, we would not have a sinless Savior, and we would not have the hope of salvation. Jesus had to be born of a virgin. Dr. Al Mohler, the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, once wrote these words, "Can a true Christian deny the virgin birth? The answer to that question must be a decisive no. Those who would deny the virgin birth reject the authority of Scripture. They deny the supernatural birth of the Savior. They undermine the very foundations of the gospel, and they have no way of explaining the deity of Jesus Christ. Christians must face the fact that a denial of the virgin birth is a denial of Jesus as the Christ. The Savior who died for our sins was none other than the baby who was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the virgin." The virgin birth does not stand alone as a biblical doctrine. It is an irreducible part of the biblical evidence about the person and work of Jesus Christ. With it, the gospel stands or falls. It is impossible for us to be saved and deny the truth of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And not only is Jesus a special lamb because His conception was special, but He's also a special lamb because of His conduct. From the day that He came into this world and to the day that He ascended back into heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ was a person of very special characteristics. Now we see this clearly illustrated at least three different ways. First, we see it in the miracles that Jesus performed. Jesus fed the multitudes. He opened up blind eyes. He healed those who were sick. He even raised those who were dead. Jesus Christ walked on the water and He calmed the seas. He turned the water into wine and He cast out demons. Let me ask you, who in the history of men has ever done anything like Jesus Christ? Who? The apostles certainly healed, but they healed in Jesus' name. There's been nobody else like Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus did marked Him as being special. He was so utterly unique, and you see the uniqueness of Christ in all the miracles that Jesus performed. And not only do you see it in His miracles, but you also see it in His message. Whenever Jesus Christ opened up His mouth, people marveled at the things He said. You cannot read the Sermon on the Mount without being impressed by the power of His words. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Even when Christ was 12 years old, the doctors of the law were astonished at His words. The Bible says no one ever spoke the way this man does. It says all spoke well of Him and they were amazed at the gracious words that came from His lips. "Is this not Joseph's son?" they asked. Throughout His entire ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ continued to amaze the crowds that heard Him speak. And not only do we see His uniqueness in His miracles and His message, but we also see it in His methods. The way that Jesus carried Himself set Him apart from every other single person around Him. And through it, all the history of men, never did Jesus Christ stoop to the level of His enemies. But He always kept the Father's will as the center of His focus. Nothing mattered more to Christ than pleasing His heavenly Father. That's why Jesus said this, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. He said, the one who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone, for I always do what pleases Him. Not sometimes. I always do what pleases Him. Lord Jesus Christ is a special lamb because of His conception and because of His conduct. And third, He's a special lamb because of His claims. His claims. Jesus was never afraid to tell people who He really was. In fact, it was His very claims that caused the Jews to seek His death. That's why they wanted to crucify Him. Now, what were those claims that Jesus made that were so offensive to the people? Well, first, Jesus claimed to be the unique Son of God. In John chapter 10, verse 34, we read these words. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? If He called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as His very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I'm God's Son? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do what my Father does, even if you don't believe me, believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Jesus Christ claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to have a special and unique relationship with God the Father, unlike anyone else. And either Jesus Christ is a liar, a lunatic, or He's Lord. There are no other options. Those are the only three you have. And we know that Jesus Christ is Lord because the virgin birth attests to it. Everybody else around Him supposed Him to be the son of Joseph. But Jesus Christ boldly said that He was uniquely the Son of the living God. In the very same way that the doctrine of the virgin birth is essential to our salvation, so is the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. Until a person comes to the place where they're willing to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God, they cannot be saved. And it's only the Spirit of God who can make that truth known to us. Jesus was having a conversation with His disciples, and one day He asked Him, He says, but what about you? He says, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter opened up his mouth and he said this, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said this, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father who is in heaven. So Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Not only did Jesus claim to be the Son of God, He also claimed to be God Himself, manifest in flesh. Jesus said that. Jesus was speaking to His disciples and He says to Philip, He says, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me, Jesus said, has seen the Father. He said, how can you say, show us the Father? Philip, He said, Philip, if you have seen me, then you have seen God. Only Christ can say that and be true. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. This claim was even more offensive to the Jews than the first one. By making this claim, Jesus was telling them that He was eternal. Jesus was telling them that He was their God in human flesh. He was the God who called Abraham. He was the God who made a covenant with Abraham. He was the God who delivered His people out of the nation of Egypt. The God who sustained them throughout the wilderness. The God who defeated all of their enemies and gave them the promised land. The God who had now come down and visited them in the flesh. The Apostle John says it like this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Friends, Jesus Christ is a special lamb. And He's special because of His conception. He was born of a virgin. He's special because of His conduct. You see it in His miracles. You see it in His message. You see it in His methods. And He's special because of His claims. He claimed to be the Son of God. And He claimed to be God Himself manifest in human flesh. There is no one else like Jesus of Nazareth, behold this precious lamb. Not only is Jesus Christ a special lamb, but I want you to understand that Jesus Christ is a sacrificial lamb. The Bible says in Matthew 1, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus came into this world for one purpose and one purpose only. It wasn't to walk on water, and it wasn't to heal the sick, and it wasn't to calm the seas, and it wasn't even to raise the dead. Jesus Christ came into this world for the sole purpose of dying. He is a special lamb, but he came to become the sacrificial lamb. He came in order to die for sinners. The Bible says this is a faithful saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. If he was going to accomplish this, there had to be a price that had to be paid. And Jesus paid that price when he went to the cross and suffered there as a substitute for every single person who would ever believe in him and trust in him. And in light of that, I want to bring out three thoughts about this sacrificial lamb. First of all, Jesus was a spotless lamb. Before any lamb could be offered up as a sacrifice, it had to be thoroughly examined and declared to be spotless according to the law of God. Any animal that was impure, any animal that was blemished or deformed, could not be offered in sacrifice to God. For Jesus to become the sacrifice of atonement that would satisfy the divine justice on our behalf, he had to be a perfect specimen. He had to be without blemish and without spot. He had to be completely without sin. And Jesus Christ fulfilled this perfectly. Not only is Christ the Son of God, but friends, Jesus Christ is also the sinless Son of God. The Bible says God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It says he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. It says, but you know that Christ appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. When Jesus died upon the cross, he shed innocent blood. He was a pure lamb, the pure lamb of God, who died in the place of wretched sinners. All we, like sheep, the Bible says, have gone astray. We've all turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Not only was Christ a spotless lamb, but friends, he was also a submissive lamb. He was not forced into his role as a substitutionary sacrifice. He was not forced to go to the cross. Jesus Christ willingly submitted to everything that he endured. He willingly accomplished everything the Father sent him to do. Remember what he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Christ could have called down 12 legions of angels to save him if he wanted to. He could have spoken the word and his executioners would have vanished away into absolute nothingness. He could have expressed the mere thought and all of these men would have died. But that is not what Jesus did. Instead, he endured the shame and the pain of the cross. Without saying a word, he submitted himself to the Father's will, and he went to that cross to pay for our sins, and he did that willingly. Christ was a submissive lamb, and we see the extent of that submission in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus himself prayed, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken away from me, yet not as I will, but as you. Submission to the Father's will, is it not? A total abandonment to God's divine purpose, no matter what it means. Not my will, but your will be done. He was a submissive lamb. And not only was Christ a spotless lamb and a submissive lamb, but friends, he was also a sacrifice lamb. Everything else meant nothing until this one single act was finally accomplished. It was not enough for Jesus to be sinless. It wasn't enough for Jesus Christ to be surrendered. He also had to be sacrificed. The Bible says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The Bible says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Jesus had to lay down His life upon that cross. He had to die so that you and I might live. And so Christ was the sacrificial lamb, and that fact necessarily means these three things. He was the spotless lamb. He was the submissive lamb. And He was the sacrifice lamb. He died in our place. There's one more point that I want to make tonight. And with this point, I'm going to close. Not only is Jesus Christ a special lamb and a sacrificial lamb, but He is also a saving lamb. A saving lamb. Listen to Matthew 1 once again. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now listen, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Friends, if the story ended with Jesus simply dying on the cross, that would be a sad, sad story indeed. There'd be no reason for us to celebrate Christmas. There'd be no reason for us to be in this church tonight. There'd be no reason for us to be seeking to live a godly, holy, separated life. There'd be no peace, no peace with God, no hope for the salvation of our souls. If Jesus simply died and that was the end of Him, it'd also be the end of us as well. But praise be to the living God that the story does not end there. 3 days after Jesus died on the cross, He burst out of that tomb in glorious resurrection, and Jesus lives forevermore. The Bible says God raises Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact, exalted to the right hand of God. He's received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and He's poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. Let all Newcastle be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, because God the Father has made Him both Lord and Christ, Jesus has the power to save sinners. The angel told Joseph, he said, you're to give Him the name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. Every single one of us is lost in sin, yet we have great hope. We can flee to Christ and be received by Christ and be saved by Jesus Christ. There are three things that Jesus does for sinners who are lost in sin. First of all, He converts souls. He gives sinners new life. The Bible tells us that we're all dead in our transgressions and sins, and those who are dead in sin need to be made alive by God if they're going to be saved. The Bible says, but because of His great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. In saving us, Jesus must first of all regenerate us and convert our souls. And secondly, not only does Jesus convert souls, but in saving us, He also cleanses us from sin. His blood has the power to wash away all sin. Doesn't matter what kind of sin you've committed, the blood of Jesus Christ is able to wash away every single one of our sins for all of time. That is a glorious thing. The Bible says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away our sins. Praise God. And not only does Jesus convert souls and cleanse from sin, but in saving us, He also changes the sinner. He makes us new creatures in Himself. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Those who've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ have also been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, if you've not been changed by Jesus Christ, then you've not been saved by Jesus Christ. In saving us, Jesus converts souls. He cleanses from sin and He changes the sinner. He takes the worst of us and He makes us just like Himself. Because God the Father has made the Lord Jesus Christ both Lord and Christ, not only does Jesus have the power to save sinners, but He also has the power to secure saints. Those who come to Him by faith never have to be afraid of losing that which Christ has given to them. Friends, when Jesus saves us, He also secures us. He Himself said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I'll never drive away, for I have not come down from heaven to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that He has given me, but raise them up on the last day." Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." He said, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Jesus saves, and Jesus keeps. Do not turn your backs on the saving Lamb of God tonight. Not only does Christ have the power to save you, but He's also got the power to secure you. Apart from Him, you have no hope. When you think about Christmas this year, try to keep everything in proper perspective. Christmas cannot be allowed to slide into paganism or commercialism or some world of fantasy involving Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and how the Grinch stole Christmas and It's a Wonderful Life. You have been exposed to the truths of God's Word this evening. And you've seen that Christmas is all about this Lamb, Mary's Lamb, this special Lamb, this sacrificial Lamb, and this saving Lamb. Christmas is about you coming to know Him in a personal relationship. Do you know Him tonight? Are you sure you know Him? If not, then you can come to Him even now. The Bible says this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son of God does not have life. I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Christmas is about this special, sacrificial, saving Lamb being your special, sacrificial, saving Lamb. Christmas is only the One who died, but more than that, who rose again from the dead and offers His salvation to anyone who's willing to come to Him by faith and receive His grace and His mercies in your life. If you do that sincerely with a broken and contrite heart, Christ will save you, and Christ will change you, and Christ will keep you and take you to glory. Let's pray. Lord, thank You and praise You so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your willingness to come into this world to die in our place. We thank You that Christmas is so much more than just presents and gifts and family traditions.